If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek. Earrings for only $79. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word Grace Diamond. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. There has been so much news over the last couple of weeks about what is happening at the border. We know Title 42 is set to be rescinded on May 23rd. Joining us now from the Center for Immigration Studies is Jessica Vaughn. Jessica, I was reading a piece today from CIS.org, and the title was CBP March Numbers, Border Patrol Apprehensions Hit 22-Year Records. Tell us a little bit about what's happening right now at the Southwest border.
Yes, this is incredible. They've released these statistics on how many apprehensions, or now they call them encounters with the Border Patrol, have occurred, people caught crossing the border illegally. And in March, there were almost 210,000 illegal aliens caught by the Border Patrol in 1 month. And this is the highest number in 22 years. There's some other concerning things about it, but that alone is very, very disturbing because we all know now that the Biden administration was planning to end the pandemic procedures that allowed them to quickly expel about half of the illegal border crossers. That surge they're expecting to be even three times higher come the end of May and all through the rest of the fiscal year, which ends at the end of September. So, I mean, this is just incredible. This is 200 times, really what it could be if we actually tried enforcing the law, I think. I mean, we're always going to have some illegal crossers, but it's just out of control in an almost unimaginable way right now, especially when you consider that there are probably tens of thousands, multiple tens of thousands more who are not being caught by the Border Patrol because the Border Patrol is so busy dealing with this flood of people coming in. The other interesting thing about it is there were record numbers of people. About 40% of these border crossers were not from Mexico and not from the Northern Triangle countries of El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. They were from places like Turkey, Colombia, of course, a lot of Cubans, Nicaraguans, Ukrainians, Russians. People are coming from all over the globe. And, that just kind of gives you the understanding that the sky is the limit here if they don't start enforcing our laws.
Yeah, Jessica, I want to read a quote to you from Brandon Judd, the president of the National Border Patrol Council. He said, "We're at a breaking point. We've got miles upon miles of border that just aren't patrolled because we have to deal with it, because we have to deal with, frankly, an invasion." Now, this is what he's saying, but when you look at the Biden White House and when you look at the talking heads, you don't get that idea that these things are out of control. They seem to be in la-la land about this.
Yes, I think it is la-la land in the White House these days. They've had more than a year to try to fix this. The career professionals in the border and immigration agencies know what could be done to fix this. The Trump administration managed to get things under control during a similar surge within just a couple of months. it's not rocket science. You have to conclude that this is not incompetence. This is not just being overwhelmed or a lack of resources. This is their policy, their deliberate policy. And you can, you know, if you read between the lines of the statements of Biden and DHS Secretary Mayorkas and a few others, they always talk about how they're trying to manage this, that they're going to give the illegal aliens their due process, and, you know, anyone that they can't make legal, they'll remove or try to, which is none. I mean, because they're really just waving them in, and it's almost insulting how casual they are about this. But, you know, we're starting to see some Democrats uncomfortable and trying to distance themselves from these policies, but really nobody is stepping up other than a few states, like especially Florida and Texas and South Carolina, to try to push back on this.
I want to talk about,
because the tools are limited, but still, you know, it's very frustrating.
I'm glad you brought up Texas, Jessica. I'm speaking with Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies, because Governor Greg Abbott has been in the spotlight a lot recently. And part of that is because he's been busing migrants from Texas into D.C. And there's a lot of debate. I would love to get your point of view. Some people say, hey, this is all theater. This isn't really doing anything. This is just to make a headline. But, you know, substantially, it doesn't really move the needle. What do you think about these moves by governors who are busing immigrants, illegal immigrants, to other parts of the country?
Well, I think that it is succeeding in a couple of ways. You know, one of them is that it is getting the attention of the public that the states are getting inundated and they are not going to take it anymore, and they don't want these migrants settling in their states. So, you know, they're taking some of the caught and released illegal border crossers who agree to go on a bus to Washington. I think there have been at least 9 buses so far, so probably about 300 people, and they're all excited, like, "Whoa, I think I'm going to thank Biden for letting me in." And, you know, they're planning on going to that area anyway. But I also think that it's getting people's attention. I mean, it's probably not the most effective thing in the many things that Abbott has done on this. I think, you know, like putting razor wire in the river and arresting illegal trespassers and inspecting trucks has probably done a little bit more. But migrants are getting the message. We're seeing more of them go to Arizona now. And they, you know, they hear this stuff too. And, you know, are going to make a choice to not settle in Texas probably. And that's the other thing he wants, is he doesn't want them to hang around in Texas. He's, you know, the messaging can be very important. But for sure he got, you know, the voting public's attention here, that he is trying to do something and that the Biden administration is inflicting this on communities all over the country.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about the cruelty of this administration, because oftentimes when I have you on, Jessica, we talk about how the Biden administration has always liked to set themselves up as this compassionate, humane administration that is trying their best. You know, I was watching Fox News just yesterday, and they had footage of a 3-year-old found abandoned at the border. This happens all the time. Talk a little bit about the cruelty of what you're seeing from people who are taking advantage of other people who want to get here because they think Joe Biden will let them in.
Well, that's it. I can't think of a more cruel and immoral policy than to entice people to hand over their life savings, and in some cases their children, to a criminal smuggling organization that treats them and considers them to be just a good to be smuggled across the border. They care nothing about the welfare of these individuals. More than 60% of the girls who are moved by the smuggling groups will be assaulted on their way to our border. And the criminal smuggling organizations are making billions of dollars off of our policies. And that is only entrenching them even further into civil society, well, not uncivil society in Mexico and in Central America. It's making them that much more difficult to suppress and dismantle. It increases their influence in these countries and prevents, a more democratic society from getting hold. And they are just brutal. There was a woman killed, I think, yesterday trying to get over the fence. As Texas becomes more secure, they're going to take them to the harsher climates, the desert areas that don't have fencing, and people are going to die there. And they send them across the river, and people drown. And when they get to the United States, sometimes things aren't so pleasant for them either, because they maybe have been trafficked for labor or for sex trafficking, or they're exploited by people who know that they have just arrived, and they will keep them in horrible working conditions and living conditions. And this is all essentially being facilitated, enabled, and condoned by the administration.
Yeah, and I want to add in one other thing here, Jessica. As we talk about the irresponsible actions from the Biden administration, I have to get your input on the investigation into the Border Patrol agents who were accused of whipping Haitian migrants. We have now found out that they will not be criminally charged with anything. They've been cleared. And yet Joe Biden and Jen Psaki and Kamala Harris, all of these people who were eager, they were excited to blast these Border Patrol agents. They were giddy to run to the cameras and talk about how terrible these people were. Now they have no apologies to offer. What do you make of that?
It's sickening. It's demoralizing for the Border Patrol, who are having to put up with these policies and putting up with more and more assaults. They were doing their job, and they were thrown under the bus, or even almost set up, as you said, and they are owed an apology. I wonder if they're considering a lawsuit, because imagine how hard it was to get them a fair investigation and clarification of what happened. It can't have been easy with all these ruthless political appointees in place of the Department of Homeland Security and the secretary, who is so contemptuous of them. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but I'm really glad that the truth is coming out.
I am as well, Jessica. Thank you so much for joining us. Jessica Vaughn is the Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration Studies. You can find her on Twitter at @JessicaV_CIS. We thank you so much, and we hope to have you on again soon.
Good talking with you.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect when it comes to dentistry. He's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth, your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel, and that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes a lot easier. It's a new year, and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles for years, but you keep pushing it off, you keep saying, tomorrow, next week, next month, well, call today. This is the year to take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located off of Route 3. They have plenty of parking, and you can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about the economy, inflation, a possible recession, and we'll get your take on it. The number, if you want to weigh in, is 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will you cancel your Netflix account? Yes, no, or I already have.
No, but I have to have an asterisk next to it that says it's not my account. My mom pays for it and we all mooch off of her. So no, I'm not going to though. And I do watch a lot of the trendy shows. You know, I watch Love is Blind. I watch Bridgerton. I've caught up now on Downton Abbey, which I know is a million years old. But I do like some of the programming. I'm not going to be watching the latest woke piece they have out there that I think is called, hold on a second, it's called How He's Expecting. It depicts a man who becomes pregnant, with some viewers turning off at its woke programming. Yeah, that's not going to be for me. I'm going to skip over that one. But so far, no, I'm not going to get rid of Netflix. I understand that a lot of people are, and kudos to you. But I don't know. Sometimes I like to watch TV.
24% of the audience says no. 29% say yes, and 47% say I already have.
If I were going to shut off Netflix, I would also shut off YouTube TV, and then I would treat myself to HBO Max. And that would be a trade that I'd be willing to make. Because then I could watch Sex and the City, The Sopranos. You know, you've got some really good stuff on HBO.
Well, it's all about the counterbalance, too, because with all the different streaming services, you're basically, if you have all of them, Disney Plus, YouTube TV, Netflix,
Hulu.
Yeah, all that stuff. You are basically paying what the cable bill
more
would be, or more in some cases.
I think now it's more, yeah. And the Kardashians are on Hulu, so you know that I'm tempted to get on Hulu. But the thing
I actually saw something online the other night that her kid was playing Roblox and an ad came up for the tape that she made with Ray J.
That was the first episode. But here's the thing, is that the Kardashians were the Hulu's biggest premiere ever. And so that's something I'm interested in. I would like to know more about these streaming service numbers. Like, I want to know more about CNN Plus. I know they're only getting 10,000 subscribers a day, but I want the nitty gritty. Where are these subscribers going? Are they watching Chris Wallace? I know he's interviewing Jen Psaki soon. Like, right. I want all the details on this. I want the breakdown. I want to feel like I'm in the room with Stelter and Joy Reid, and we're breaking down what's going well and what's not going well. That is what I want. And as far as streaming services go, you have to kind of figure out, okay, what am I? See, it's easy if you're like Howie, because Howie goes on his computer and looks up Boston Blackie, and he doesn't need anyone for that. You know, he is Mr. Independent. But for regular people, you've got to decide, like, where am I going to get the most bang for my buck? What am I watching the most? Then you have people who do something which is kind of crazy to me. There are people who will get, like, the month free and then watch whatever they want to watch and then cancel it. And then a couple months later, another show's on the platform they want. They get the month again. That's too hectic for me. I would end up forgetting to cancel things, and I would end up getting charged month after month.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's very clever, but it's kind of a full-time job at that point.
Yes.
If you're doing it, it's just too much to keep up with if you get too much else going on. And I don't watch a lot of TV anyway, but it's just too much for me to try to keep up with all that.
No, I totally agree.
To have a calendar, you know, all right, this ends this. I have to cancel before this.
Yeah.
Too much.
No, I agree. 844-500-4242. So yeah, people are going to cancel their Netflix. I understand. And they're going to watch, I don't know. I don't know what else they're going to watch. Maybe they're going to watch Hulu. Maybe they're going to go to Peacock. But some people have tons of these apps, and I refuse to spend my money. I will not get Disney Plus. That one's expensive. And you know what? Here's another subject I would like to bring up. And if people want to call in on this, I would love to talk about it. I got an email the other day. I actually sent it to the mailroom manager. I do that. I do a clothing rental service. I've been doing it for like 10 years.
Rent-a-swag?
Rent-a-swag. Better than rent-a-puppy. And what you do is, for, let's say, $80 a month, you rent 4 pieces, and then you can send them in, I think, once and exchange them maybe once or twice a month.
they just sent me an email and they said, hey, we're upping your subscription fee from, I think it was like 89 to 94, which doesn't seem like that much, but it all adds up. Yeah, the tax in, yeah, the shipping. And I was thinking, I wonder how many people are getting these emails now about certain services they do that you might not think are getting affected by inflation, but they are. That was the first one I received, but I think Netflix has sent them out. I think this happens a lot. All right, we'll be right back with your calls. It's 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The level of dishonesty that the left has to utilize in order to pump out their bogus narratives is just, it's reaching an absurd point. I believe this is from the Washington Post story. Tyler Rinn, a former English teacher in Oklahoma, posted a video telling LGBTQ kids shunned by their parents that Rinn was proud of them and loved them. It was featured on Libs of TikTok last week. Since being featured on the page, Rinn has been barraged with harassment and death threats. Now, that's what you see, right? Okay, and there's not, that sounds really harsh, that he's being barraged with death threats for telling the students that he loves them and accepts them. Now, Kendall Brown is a blue check mark. She's a healthcare advocate fighting to defeat Republican supermajorities. She takes out this excerpt and she says, one of the teachers targeted by Libs of TikTok and subsequently sent death threats by the account's followers was Oklahoma teacher Tyler Rinn. He then lost his job. The video he was targeted over was just telling LGBTQ kids rejected by their parents that they're loved. All right, again, you're like, wow, that's really intense. Now, here's the real story that you would never know if you follow these blue check marks and you don't try to do any of your own research. Matt Walsh writes, the teacher said in the video, quote, if your parents don't love and accept you for who you are, bleep them, I'm your parents now. He chose to say this and post it online. He is not a victim. He deserves to be fired, and I hope he never gets another teaching job anywhere ever again. That's from Matt Walsh. But don't you think that's an important part of the story? Bleep them, I'm your parents now. They leave that out. All of this journalism, and you can't add in those couple of extra words that seem vital to the situation?
You can't break these things down microsecond by microsecond.
God!
Come on!
It's almost laughable how out of context they take these things. I thought context mattered. The crying press secretary told me so. Ugh, and that's just one example. These things just make me sick. By the way, Florida's Republican-led Senate approved a bill on Wednesday looking to eliminate Disney's special tax district that has allowed the company to self-govern its land. I hope they are successful. I am sick of Republicans just playing defense. If these companies want a virtue signal, make them put their money where their mouth is. If they care so much about kids K through 3 being taught gender ideology, then surely they won't mind losing a couple of million dollars and losing their ability, their special tax district. Surely they'll give up their special tax district if it means appearing more woke to their base, appearing more progressive to their fans, who will eventually, regardless, tear them up for something else. Surely it is worth it. The Florida House is also expected to vote in favor of the legislation after Republican Governor Ron DeSantis announced on Tuesday that lawmakers will be considering termination of all special districts that were announced in Florida prior to 1968, and that includes the Reedy Creek Improvement District. I hope this happens. And, you know, I saw a lot of people explaining this when it originally happened, but the best one I saw was this guy who said, you know, DeSantis can't move Disney out of, or, you know, DeSantis can't afford to have Disney leave Florida. Disney can't afford to leave Florida, but DeSantis can make Disney bleed. Like, he can make this as painful as he wants. He has them over a barrel. DeSantis He's not stuck in Florida with Disney. Disney is stuck in Florida with Ron DeSantis. And that was a major miscalculation on the part of the woke Disney CEOs. And now they're going to have to pay a big price for it. I'm sure that's okay, though. They're not, they don't, you know, over at Disney, Jared, they don't care about the money. It's not about the money for them. It's about wokeness. It's about social justice. All right, today's gas winner. It's time to announce the $50 for gas money winner. And if you win, keep your eye out for an email from store@howiecarshow.com. We give away $50 every weekday, and it's brought to you by Tire Tutor. Your tires affect your gas mileage. Tire Tutor saves you time and money by finding the tire at a location close to you. All right. If you want to sign up for this, if you hear this every day and you go, I want to get free gas, go to howiecarshow.com or gracecurlyshow.com and just enter your email. It is free, and you'll be entered to win. Today's winner is Edward from Athol.
You won! You did it!
Did I say that right?
I think so.
Okay. You won $50 for gas from yours truly. So look for an email from store@howiecarshow.com with instructions. Okay, now, we have a little update for you. We haven't done this segment in a while, but it's really fun. And I like anything that allows us to play a little bit of music. It's time for an update from Chicago.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues. Ooh, in Chicago.
What a nice song Chicago, this is. All right, so Lori Lightfoot, or as we know her here, the face of Chicago, the woman who had to get her hair cut while all the beauty salons were shut down because she is the face of Chicago, Chicago. Well, I don't know what is happening in Chicago. Obviously, dysfunction is running amok, but also there seems to be a real journalist who was allowed into the to the building. And I am, first of all, shocked. I cannot believe that Lori Lightfoot's aides would allow someone in who's going to ask her not only a legitimate question, but several legitimate questions. It was embarrassing. It shouldn't have been allowed to happen. And if the Easter Bunny were there, I can almost guarantee you that this journalist would have never been allowed near a microphone. Listen to Lori Lightfoot squirm. Here we go.
Mayor Lightfoot, every time you have a press conference, you say crime is down. The economy is booming.
Well, that's not true, but get to your question, sir.
Across the street, we had a police officer on duty, the victim of a hit and run. We have Michigan Avenue, the magnificent miles now referred to as the Mile of Fear. The Water Tower Place has thrown the keys back to the lender. They say they don't want to be in Chicago anymore. Real Chicagoans are asking me, how could you possibly even consider running for re-election as mayor of the city of Chicago after all the harm you've caused?
Well, I disagree with you fundamentally, and I don't think I need to address any and dignify your comments one second further.
Oh. So we're not going to get an answer, huh?
Accountability.
Her voice was like shaky there. Sounded like she was going to cry. Good job by that reporter. I don't know.
I did like his, people are asking me.
We need more of those. We need more of those. I miss those from the Trump years. Now, since we're talking about crime, and obviously Chicago is dealing with a lot of crime, but I thought this was a very interesting study. I referenced it earlier, but it's worth revisiting. Black Lives Matter blamed for cops pulling back, causing a spike in murders of African Americans. The number of Black Americans murdered in 2020 jumped by 32%, with an expert blaming Black Lives Matter protests for the huge spike by scaring off cops. And I just want people to remember that yesterday I also read you a story about how Cori Bush, who's one of the loudest proponents of the Defund the Police movement, spent over $300,000 in private security. These politicians, it's gone beyond the fact that it's laughable and it's hypocritical that they spew nonsense about defunding the police while they're going to keep themselves privately secure with people who have guns. But now we're seeing the ramifications of these catchy slogans, of this asinine kind of ideology and policy. We're seeing the effects. And the saddest part is that the minority communities are the ones who are being hit the worst by this. And it's all because politicians who claim to care so much about them pushed this dangerous rhetoric. And this is what happens. They're actually, Hannah Meyer, she's from the think tank, the Manhattan Institute, says widespread defund the police messaging further worsened the murder rate among black people. She believes that the widespread ideology combined with real cuts to multiple police departments prompted cops to withdraw from policing areas with high crime, where lives could have been potentially saved. I always go back to that Charles Barkley cut. Who are black people supposed to call? Ghostbusters? Because in the suburbs, you know, all of the a lot of these politicians, these white liberal politicians, these woke politicians who go home and watch Rachel Maddow and go home to their house in the suburbs, they'll always have cops. You know, they can always call the cops. If remember, Alyssa Milano called the cops because someone was trying to shoot a squirrel. So she got the cops to come to her little gated community. It might not have been gated, but it was a nice little area. She had no problem getting the cops, but she doesn't want other communities to be able to call the cops when they need help. And as Toby Leary always points out on our show, the same people in those communities are going to have a very hard time defending themselves with any kind of weapon because they have the strictest gun laws. And according to Joy Behar, the Supreme Court is trying to pass a bill to make the gun laws looser in New York. I didn't know they were passing bills at the Supreme Court, but this is just some of the things we deal with here on a day-to-day basis. 844-500-4242. We will be back with Howie Carr. We're going to get his take on all of this. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. There's a good piece in Town Hall today. Can Biden buy votes with student debt relief? And it talks about how, depending on the candidate you had in 2020, you might have thought that all of your student loan debt was going to be canceled. Bernie Sanders wanted it all to be relieved. He wanted to cancel all of it. Elizabeth Warren pledged to forgive everyone's up to $50,000. And Joe Biden was he was lower on the totem pole. He just wanted to forgive $10,000 per person. And so now he's pausing it and he's pausing it and he's pausing it. And Jen Psaki recently said that between now and August 31st, it's either going to be extended or we're going to make a decision. I don't think that they will cancel student debt. I do think that they could be pausing this until 2024. Joining me now for the Carr crossover is Howie Carr. Howie, what do you make of this from the White House? They seem hesitant to really make a decision as far as canceling student loan debt.
I think it's like Title 42. I mean, it's polling terribly for them, and they just want to know, you know, should they just go with the deadbeat non-working class students? And they keep saying, well, this is a good move with the millennials. But you know what? As far as I can see, the millennials probably had the same rate of people going to college and not being deadbeats as all the earlier generations. You know, I think a lot of millennials are going to be pretty PO'd if, and again, this skews towards the affluent people. These are the beautiful people who are going to be getting these forgiveness, if you want to call it that. I guess that's the word they like, forgiveness.
That's a really, really good point, Howie. And Byron also points that out. He says it's expensive and is money spent with no return. And finally, according to Holtz Eakin, who is a former head of the Congressional Budget Office, it is throwing money at the affluent. It has been more than adequately documented that benefits of student loan deferral and forgiveness disproportionately accrue to the more affluent, he wrote. So, yeah, there is something to be said there that a lot of these people. And oftentimes what I've heard from people is that it's people who didn't go to college because they didn't want to, you know, waste their money, or they didn't want to spend time there and got a job right out of high school, who are now going to be paying for rich kids who went to a liberal arts school and graduated with, you know,
a major in queer studies, let's be honest.
Or, you know, I got a theater degree, and I love my degree. I think it actually helped me a lot because it made me, you know, it made me outgoing, and now I'm here, and I think I use it occasionally here. But I wouldn't expect someone else to have to be foot the bill for that.
No, it's ridiculous. So what? I mean, you know, if you want to go into the military, there's something called the GI Bill, right? I have no problem with the GI Bill. Nobody has a problem with the GI Bill. But, I mean, just signing a document saying you have a loan, I keep saying this over and over again. I've written columns about it, had hour after hour. Why don't they give everybody the option? Your mortgage loan. What if your mortgage decides to self-identify as a student loan?
Right.
You know? I mean, everybody, you can self-identify as anything you want in terms of your quote-unquote gender. Why can't your loans gender? I'm grooming my Visa payments to turn into student loans, Grace.
I would not be surprised, though, if this is the Hail Mary for Joe Biden. I don't know when it will come, but
it's Hail Marys seldom work as passes, as we all know from watching football games in the fall, right?
Very
true.
I mean,
this is not going to work. I mean, the people who care about this kind of stuff, they were going to vote Democrat anyway. And the chances are they're too stoned on drugs or using their EBT card to buy booze somewhere along the line. They're doubled EBT card payments. You know, they're not going to turn out to vote, or they were going to vote Democrat anyway, because they, you know, they're the Democrats are the party of welfare and the non-working classes, and that's what this is.
Howie, I want to read you a quote here from Cook Political Report. It says, the political environment has deteriorated for Democrats since January. That means no Democrat in a single-digit Biden district is secure, and even some seats in Biden carried by double-digit margins in 2020 could come into play this fall.
I saw a stat today on Newsmax, Grace, a poll. It said his Hispanic approval rating is down to 26%. 26%. The Hispanic incumbent U.S. senator from Nevada who was talking about how she was demanding an end to Title 42 a year ago. Now she's demanding the Title 42 be continued.
Yeah, and when you talk about that, Hispanic voters, Black voters, I mean, inflation affects everyone, and no one likes being lied to. That's the second part of it. No one likes being gaslit. It doesn't matter what your race is, what your gender is. Being told that what you're seeing isn't actually happening is an incredibly frustrating thing for everyone right now in this country, and that's all they do.
You know what I would like to see? I'd like to see those 16 state senators in Tallahassee who voted to keep the payouts going, or the special treatment going for Disney. How do they justify that with their woke constituents?
I don't know. I hope Disney.
I don't think they can. You know, you campaign against. Yeah, well, we're all against corporate bigwigs, but if they're for grooming in the public schools in the kindergarten through third grade, we're all in favor of giving them a tax breaks. We're in favor of giving grooming corporations tax breaks, but nobody else.
I have a feeling Disney is going to wish they didn't pick this battle very soon, if they haven't already.
I think they've long since come to that conclusion.
Yeah, regret.
They're in the fetal position.
This is what regret feels like, Disney. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got a great show planned. I'll be back tomorrow for Friday Junior.